December 13, 2016. It's a lot for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Lock for Pedro show. Here in Pedro at my pad, Brother Matt is sick. And so I'm in Pedro, but I'm not at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point. Although, I'm not completely man alone because of the magic of Skype, or via the magic of Skype, I've got Mr. Jay Fox from Denver, Colorado, here on the Peter. Say hi there, Jay.
What's happening, Mike?
Yeah.
I'm here with Matt Hurley. Okay. Also,
who's a member of the Pollution. We heard John Coltrane doing Body and Soul, not the whole thing, just fragment, Village Gate, 1961. I think it's called Pigeon Rouge now. But it's the same pad. I've played there a few times with this other name, Red Fish. And then we had Yeti and the Pollution. Okay. The Pollution. Well, let's go back with you because you're actually not Denver. You go back to Washington, D.C. What's your earliest music memory, Jay?
My earliest music memory was my father being a drummer in a marching band as a Shriner drumming bugle corps. But as far as rock and roll music, I think the first rock record I ever bought was The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down by the band.
Yeah. So what, you saw your father in a parade? That's your first music memory?
He was in the band. That's what he did. That was his gig his evening gig
I'm
was marching.
I'm talking more about the event. What happened?
Oh, it's just, it's just rock. We're seeing live music for the first time. You kind of get blown away by the sound of a big band. And that was the big band that turned me on the first time was the Shriner band.
So it wasn't a parade. It was like a concert.
Well, it was like probably practice, at the Shrine Hall. But just seeing, a whole band full of, 30 old guys playing drums and horns and playing big music was pretty, pretty mind-blowing for a small child.
Yeah, because I've only seen them in parades. I thought you had to be like a member to go watch or something like that. I know it's kind of the partying part of Freemason. In fact, the kid part is called Jacques du Molay, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I know that he did the whole Shriner thing. That's why we all grew up with Shriners. We all wore fezes and and had clowns and stuff,
I think you don't have to be a Shriner if you're a Freemason, but you have to be a Freemason to be a Shriner.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And but there's some kind of auxiliary for kids. I know because Jay, who's that bass man? Les Claypool told me he was Jacques du Molay growing up.
Interesting.
So you didn't do that. Okay.
Wow.
So, let's see. One of Ronnie's friends in Ann Arbor, Bill Cheatham, he was like a bartender at a Shriner hall. And so that, I don't know a lot. I have seen the big automated parade at the George Washington Memorial in, I think it's in Fairfax.
It's in Alexandria, the big pyramid.
Next to it. Dave Grohl's Fairfax, I think. Yeah, it's 333 feet tall.
Oh, interesting.
The elevator that goes up at a 7-degree angle. I've been there several times. But in the basement, there's a little automated parade. Also some pictures of some Masonic Mexican presidents. Upstairs, they got Santa Ana Spurs. It's an interesting place.
Yeah, that's where they used to practice, in the basement of that big building.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's where they got that little parade thing. It's like a little robot. Did you ever see that thing I'm talking about?
It's been so long, I can't remember, but I remember going in there and just seeing, being pretty well, like I say, being pretty amazed by the building and the whole thing.
Yeah, in the basement they have a whole parade, but, it's little toys, little models, and they all march in their little cars and... Okay, so your pop's a drummer. Did he want to get you in on drums?
Nah, he wanted me to be a preacher, but I bagged on that.
Okay. So he didn't want you to do music. Okay.
No, he was cool about the music thing. My parents were real supportive. My parents were like your parents, and it was like we practiced in my mom's house, and, we were watching the...
Yeah, but my pop didn't do drums. My pop had no music in his family. I'm just interested in the connection. He didn't want you to pick up on after him.
No, he did, I guess. They bought us gear. They bought us band equipment, let us practice.
Who's so they?
My mom and dad. They're enablers of rock and roll for sure.
And who's us?
Oh, my brother and I, sorry.
Okay.
My brother and I grew up, we had a band starting when we were like 15.
Younger brother, older brother?
Older brother, yeah.
Okay. And how did you get on? What'd you ask your mom and dad? Can you, like, first of all, what instrument?
Well, my brother played guitar, and then I wanted a guitar, but since he was a guitar player, he told me I had to be a bass player, so I bought a bass, and I became a bass player.
So nobody wanted to be a drummer?
Neither my brother or I were interested in drums, you know.
Did your pop have a drum set at the house?
No, it was a big kettle drum, big marching drum.
Ah, a field drum, yeah, okay. Yeah. That's where they get that technique of holding the stick trippy before
right.
the rock and roll grip, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. So you didn't play a trap kit, so I could see why maybe not so attractive, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Unless you want to march in the band, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Although, you know, they used a marching band on that Taft Falco record.
Mango. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of bands. Like, now it's a big thing. We have here in Denver, we have the Itch.io, the marching band that Jello just put out on Alternative Tentacles, and they're a big marching band.
Tell me about that. He's going to try to get back. He's calling Doug Coffey. He wants to do a DJ set at Lion's Lair.
Yeah, he's usually in town this time of year. He has family here somewhere.
I saw him
so he's
a couple
spent
of days ago in Pacifica. And,
okay.
He asked for Doug Kaufman's contact so he could try to get that going.
Yeah, we saw him DJ last year when he was here.
Was it at Lion's Lair?
No, it was at some other little bar down on Larimer Street.
Okay. I'm just curious. So, okay, your brother, what's the name of that band?
We were in a band called United Mutation.
Okay.
It was all attached to the whole DC Hardcore Discord Records thing.
Yeah, so about this time was what? Early
81.
80s. And do you remember your first gig?
First gig, we played in a basement in Fairfax County, and we emptied the room. And the headlining band had Steve Hansgen in the band. He later went on to be in Minor Threat.
Well, really? I don't remember that.
Yeah, he came on after a while, when they became two guitars after the first couple of records.
Oh, that's right. I didn't know that version so well.
Yeah.
The one I knew had Lyle and...
And Brian.
Brian, the Bad Religion guy, yeah.
Right, exactly, yeah. And Steve came on and Brian switched the guitar.
That's right.
Yeah.
Don't they always do that?
It's a all that.
What about your buddy there?
Matt?
Yeah.
Me and Matt met in Antarctica.
Ah, but how did he get started?
I was involved in a variety of different music projects when I was a kid. My little brother, I remember our first, I got him a drum kit. We were we saved up recycling cans and we bought a super cheap drum set and we, got together in the basement of our house in the Boston area and wrote songs about neighborhood dogs and things like that. I kind of grew up with I went to high school with some of the Gang Green guys from the Boston area.
Who went on drums?
My brother was a little brother.
So somebody wanted to play drums.
Yeah.
Okay. What's his name? Chris?
Yeah.
Chris Daugherty?
Oh, yeah, Chris Dorr. Yeah, that was the Gang Green guys, yes.
Minutemen did a gig at the channel, and I think Chris lasted one tune. And it was Uskin Hooskers, and I think Gang Green opened up, and he was really a fan of Budweiser, and Budweiser won.
When I was in high school, they played the talent show as a band called Schmegma and the Nuns, and they had the power pulled on them. Anyway, that was a very inspiring moment because I thought, wow, just to get them to shut the power down on them, I thought that was pretty impressive. So
very impressive. We're gonna play Into the Ether. What can you tell me about this song?
Into the Ether. That was the earlier Pollution. It's kind of a shout out to all the different bands we've all shared together.
Thank you.
tapping into the ego as it rides off the rail, like some kind of ancient bird in the sky.
We'll be right back. he told me all the hours that I wait could be spent desperately and nobody bothered. I want you to hold me like a picture of a toothpaste and squeeze out everything I have to offer. Nobody told me what places in my dream could be found in real life to make me conquer. I think that I'll go there.
Smiling, snapping down for an infinity, like an infant.
Watt for Pedro show. That was started off with the Pollution live doing Into the Ether. Then Many Birthdays, Brand New, Ancient Bird, Spino Urchin, Desert Pain. Something brand new with a prod here in Pedro. Joe Dean put together with George Hurley on the drums. Georgie, the Wrinkling Brothers with Electra's Plumbing Problem. Brand new Surfer Blood after that, Matter of Time. I think they got a new lineup now. Some live Midwestern medicine, although they're out of Portland, Maine. You know, arts for transcending things like physical location. For example, John Fogerty, very Northwest Bayou. Everything I have to offer. Hell Beans from England after that with Maybe I'm a Nightmare. Brand new Light out of Tokyo with Balloon. Petra Hayden. With Petra Hayden, Frame by Frame. And finally, from the Joshua Tree area, D.E.R. with Nervous. Back with Matt and Jay of the Pollution. So, yeah, you should explain this Antarctic connection.
Well, basically, the Antarctic thing was back in the early 90s, I was interested. I was writing a documentary at that point about a musical piece about the Antarctic krill. And I got sucked into the whole history of it all and ended up meeting a person who worked for the National Science Foundation. And I ended up just applying for a job and got a job down in Antarctica in 1995 and just doing kind of like a grunt work, you know, shoveling snow, moving stuff, doing whatever you needed to do. And that's where I met Matt at because he was doing the same basic thing.
Okay.
And we had bands. We played in bands down there for years. And Matt and I have been playing together for about 17 years now at this point.
So you're playing, what, at the compound?
We played bars and coffee shops, lounges. Every year they have a great big music festival called the Ice Dock Music Festival, which is the southernmost music festival in the world. And we played that every year and various different bands. We had punk bands and folk bands and bluegrass bands, you name it. Everybody in town got to play.
I mean, it's a town.
Yeah, it's a town. McMurdo Station. It's about 100 buildings.
And it's called what?
McMurdo Station.
McMurdo Station.
Yeah.
So, there's bars and, okay. I was figuring maybe there's only a couple pads to play.
Well, there's like three basic places. The coffee shop, which is small acoustics type stuff. That's where we showed the Jam Econo documentary was shown in the coffee house. And then there's the bar where you have bigger concerts where like more rock bands type play.
Do you remember your first Antarctic gig?
Yeah, the first Antarctic gig I played was I walked in the station and the first day I got there, I went to check the band room out and kind of press mobbed into being in a country band, and I played with a band called the Commander Swabby and the Fuel Pit Pickers. And they were playing a lot of, you know, change in my pocket type of, you know, modern country stuff. And I lasted one gig with that before I found somebody who knew how to play that stuff better than me. And I kind of kicked myself out of their band and started another band.
With Matt?
No, he wasn't at that point. He was actually working at the South Pole. I was at McMurdo. He was in the interior. I was on the coast. So I started this other band with just other friends. Actually, Jeff, who was our drummer for 20 years, was in the very first band I played at, and he just recently quit our band like this past fall, last fall.
Okay, so you mean there's more than one station?
Yeah, the United States has three stations, one on the coast at McMurdo, one in the South Pole, the actual 90 South, and one up on the Antarctic Peninsula, south of Chile.
So you could get a tour going.
Yeah, you can. It's like I've only done two of the three stops. I've never been to Palmer, the smallest station.
But what about the other people, like England and Australia, Russia?
Yeah, there's stations all over the place.
Yeah,
Antarctica. Yeah.
How's it set up there? Like nobody can own Antarctica, but they own their little stations.
Well, there's claimants. There's people who signed on to the Antarctic Treaty Organization, and they have claims that are, you know, sections of pie, so to speak. The United States doesn't claim any of it. We just kind of operate off as we feel we need to. So we support pretty much all science in Antarctica.
Okay. So could you play other stations? Would there be a problem? Is there like borders?
Oh, no, you can do it. I mean, we played, like, numerous times there at the New Zealand base at Sky Base, which is, like, 2 miles down the road. We played there many times. You know, it's a great place. Actually, I played there with Henry Kaiser. We played a Christmas party there 1 year with Henry Kaiser. It was really fantastic.
Now, how did you get around?
Just get in a truck and drive down the road.
So it ain't that bad with the weather?
Nah, not so bad. Even in the wintertime, it wasn't that horrible. You can still get around.
Okay. You know, just have no experience, so I have to ask somebody.
Oh, no, totally. No, it's fascinating stuff. I've been doing it for 20 years, so
okay,
I've got
to... So why the pollution?
Well, the pollution was a band that me and Matt started, which was the fallout from another band we started, which was Brain Box Pollution, where we were kind of spinning around looking for something new to do, so we put together a set list of all Hawkwind songs.
Yeah, because Brain Box Pollution is actually an album, isn't it?
It's a song. It's a Hawkwind song.
Yeah.
I thought it was
a huge concept, yeah, about something in the 70s, right?
Yeah, that was the whole thing. It was like a kind of science fiction stuff.
Yeah,
that's
right.
The whole Brain Box Pollution was. So we took that song as our name, put together a set list, and basically what we did is we took like a bunch of Hawkwind songs, stripped all the space rock out of them, turned them into like punk rock songs, and played what was more like a Sex Pistolized version of Hawkwind songs.
Yeah, kind of condensed.
Yeah, and we did that for about 2 years around Denver and played a bunch of shows, and then we lost our keyboard player, and we lost our guitar player, got a keyboard player, cut the Brain Box out, and just kept the pollution.
And that's in Denver, or is it?
That's in Denver. That's in Denver, yeah. And that's the band we had when we played with you guys 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We had that. We had that part of the band. We had the keyboard player still, and then he quit, and we started this new pollution, which is what this whole Sir Edmund thing's all about.
It's a trio.
Correct.
Right. Because I got to see some YouTube.com video, and I could see it was a quartet at one period, and I guess that's the keyboard guy.
Right.
Okay. I'm just trying to get it together. Who do you got on drums now?
Well, this guy Oscar, who was basically when Jeff, our drummer, who'd been our drummer for years, got a job in his field and left the band. And Oscar came out, and he's an old punk rock guy from Berkeley, the East Bay scene. And he lives here in Denver, and he was such a great drummer. We were like, well, hell, we should just do all this other stuff. So we kind of scrapped all the old pollution songs and wrote a whole new set over the past year.
And, not so much with the Hawkwind.
No, we kind of plink around on that stuff. And it's still the vibe is still there, but we're not actually playing the songs.
Sure. Still, quite interesting how you took something as a springboard to launch into something else. It's been first hour, December 13th, 2016 edition of Walk for Pedro Show. Matt and Jay from Pollution, special guests. Hold tight for hour two. December 13th, 2016. It's the second hour of the Walk for Pedro Show. Pedro show, start off the second hour with The Pollution. Something live, Fukushima. Sentiments. What's that, like you combine two songs into one?
Yeah, the Fukushima part is original riffing that we kind of put together. It's all about nuclear war and destruction, and that's kind of the Pollution thought process originally was very much in a kind of crass records type of vibe. Definitely like, you know, peace punkish, subhumans, that kind of stuff is where we're kind of going with. Again, kind of music that was influenced by Hawkwind, but not Hawkwind. And the Fukushima piece, Sentiments piece, was kind of a tag on an actual crass, piece on a Christ the album. And it doesn't really sound like that, but I used one line of theirs at the very last of the song to kind of tally out the piece.
Tally out. What does that mean?
Well, you kind of tag at the end, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I just got off a tour with El Sueño de Marinayo in Europe, and one of the gigs, it was in Antwerp. Eve Libertine guested, sang on for one of the bands on the bill, a couple songs. It was great to see her again. I once got to play with her and her son in the 90s share bill here in Pedro with Dose. Speaking of El Sueño de Marinayo, the drummer man in Van Belfi has a few projects, and we heard some music from there. Sarah Persa, number one, then DBS with Solo, and the Swifter doing Traveling Angle. The guitar man from that band, Stefano Pelia, he's got a new solo record, and this tune's called Children's Ghost. And finally, incredible guitarist, Terracina, yeah, not Roma. He got very upset with me, but it's close. Don't tell him that. Maglio, Maresca, and Manual for Errors. Offing out. Back to Matt Jay here with the Pollution story. They got this proj about the Himalayas. You want to talk about it, Jay?
Yeah, so we basically, when we started this whole new project, I've been kicking these ideas around about Sir Evan Hillary, of course, factors into our lives, you know, working in Antarctica. Matt is married to a woman from New Zealand. So we both spent a lot of time in New Zealand, around New Zealand, and in the Antarctic. Jeff, when we originally started the original project, had spent a lot of time in the Himalaya. So it kind of ties into our world, you know, on a certain level.
Yeah. Well, what is it?
Well, it being right. Well, the music is like the piece of music where we're writing at this point is we're around eight songs into this, what I'm calling a musical biography of Sir Edmund's life. Basically, what I did is I went through historical documentation, his own writings, you know, things online, and pieced together different parts of his life that we could attach music to. So we, you know, there's certain things, like we have a piece called Komo Longma, which is the name of Mount Everest, you know, in Nepali and Tibetan. There's Komo Longma Sagarmatha. We have another song called Tractors to the Pole, which is in the 1950s when Sir Edmund Hillary went to Antarctica for the first time. He was invited to come along by the British expedition leader who was coming from the opposite side of Antarctica on the Weddell Sea, traveling across through the South Pole and back down through the Beardmore Glacier region onto the Ross Ice Shelf out to McMurdo. Well, Sir Edmund was tasked with laying depots up the glacier and onto the plateau. And Vivian Fuchs, the expedition leader, was coming from the other side. Well, he got bogged down in soft snow, and Sir Edmund, of course, made great time coming up the glaciers. And they were told not to go to pole, even though they were right outside. But they, of course, were like, you know, can't hear you. Go to pole, sure. So they kicked up the engines and bustled right on into town. So that's one of the pieces. And that piece is, in musically, is almost
kind of far from the Himalayas.
Well, yeah, but it's all part of his whole life, you know?
It's really not about just the Himalayas. It's the life.
Right.
How far back do you go? Do you go back to when he was a boy?
Well, you know, it goes back to his original career of being a beekeeper. And we have a song called Beekeeper. It's one of the songs in the set. And
where was that? Was that New Zealand?
Yeah, it was in New Zealand. Yeah, he was a beekeeper. His father owned a farm, I guess you'd call it, for lack of a better word, where they raised bees, and that was his career. So if you were to ask Sir Edmund, even later in life, you know, what was your career? He would say, "Oh, I'm a beekeeper."
No, there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's righteous work. We're going to hear No Doves Fly Here. Tell us something about that.
Well, No Doves Fly Here was a cover of the band The Mob, who are a Crass Records band.
I was just going to say that. Now, I get the connect with the... I think that artist Banksy guy had a connect, too.
Oh, very possibly, yeah. The Mob, actually, my old band, United Mutation, played 2 years ago back in D.C., and The Mob was the headlining band on the festival we played.
Great, let's listen. Thank you.
time, boy, when I searched for steel. And steel meant more than even gold or jewels.
The ribble of steel.
Yes. You know what it is, don't you, boy? Shall I tell you?
Out. To James Cruikshank.
Watford Pedro Show. That was Mob, cover of Mob tune, No Doves Fly Here, Pollution. And out of Finland, Kid Cannon Hits with Body Punk. And yeah, I think the bass man moved on to another band there called Metri Painakilon. Then we heard Naksu. Then Zigzags out of, where did I see those guys? Pioneer Town. Pioneer Town, totally created by Hollywood. Took over by bikers, I finally learned. Riddle of Steel. And Frederick Kimboom out of Berlin. Him for Him. And finally, Negative Scanner with Low. I think out of Chi-Town. Okay, very interesting. How long away are you with this? What are you going to call this project, the Yeti?
It's called Ocean to Sky is the name of the project.
Okay.
And that's, we're 7 songs, 8 songs into it as far as basic tracks now, and have a couple more to write. So we'll be working on this through the first of the year and probably start mixing and finishing up the overdubs after the holidays, and then pushing forward and seeing what we can do with it after that.
Was there controversy in his life?
In Sir Edmund's life? No, not really. I mean, other than like, it's, and for the most part, he was really lucky. Once he got his,
I'm wondering if your piece has got, you know, is the drama just with nature or is there with people too?
Well, with the project currently, with the biography, there's not really any, it's all more about, you know, the nature and the locations,
you just mentioned about, oh, we can't hear you, fire up the, it seems like there was a little drama there. They didn't want to get too far ahead.
Yeah, well, there was definitely, I'm sure he had, and it, well, of course, you know.
Was there stuff like that when he was doing his big climb?
You know, it sounded like from reading the books and the historical stuff, there's obviously fighting against nature, but, you know, they had a really good group, and the only confrontations was that certain people who wanted to go to the top didn't have the ability to make it, and the ones that did were the ones that made it, you know, and it was, if your team couldn't make it past the Hillary step or whatever, you had to back off, or, you know, and so he and Tenzing actually made it up, and, you know, and
that, made it to the top. Sherpa?
That was his Sherpa, Tenzing Norgay, yeah.
Yeah, I read about him. He had kind of an interesting story.
Yeah, and he got kind of shortchanged in some levels, but, you know, because, of course, you know, at those days,
he
really didn't see those people.
Does he figure into your piece?
He's, you know, that's, I have not actually written a piece of music about Tenzing Norgay, actually. That would actually be a good piece
Here's a coincidence. Last time, you know, I got rid of cable TV. So I got one of these antennas, because now all the air TV has to be digital, right?
Right.
Cisco Kid was on. And I'm thinking about Boncho. You know? And the idea of the sidekick, and it seemed like maybe, what's your opinion of Sherpas and the climbers? Are they essential?
Oh, yeah, totally. And in those days, they couldn't even have gotten up the mountain without him. Even nowadays, I've never been up that into the Himalaya, but I know that it's very important. And Tenzing, in his world, coming up with Sir Edmund, he was, you know, a huge celebrity in the region, and highly respected till his death. The biggest problem, I think, what happened with Tenzing was that he was fell by the wayside in the Western world, because, you know, that just didn't, they weren't acknowledged as, you know, the same as, you know, it's kind of like Tonto with the Lone Ranger, you know.
That's what
they think about Tonto, because he was, you know, they're almost like non-people in certain circles.
But in a way, if you really know the show, you know Tonto's very important, just like with the Cisco Kid and Poncho.
Oh, yeah.
They're not just the color character, you know, they're actually, but they, because of, yeah, stereotypes, maybe the writers are having some fun with that, because, yeah, people were a lot more, kind of stiff that way.
Well, you know, it's funny, the actual image that Sir Edmund Hillary took from the top of Everest, the classic iconic image of the man on the mountain with the spike in his, with the ice axe in his hand, is Tenzing Norgay. That was the best image. It's not Sir Edmund, it's Tenzing.
Then you know what, Jay? I think you got to write at least one piece of music in your piece for you.
Yeah, I think you're right. And the only mention we actually have is there's a song called "Blood on the Gompa Steps," which is a story from Sir Edmund's life where they were building monasteries and building schools.
I've got to hold on. We're at the end of hour two. Let's pick that up in the next hour. People, December 13, 2016 edition, Watt from Pedro Show. Jay and Matt from Pollution, Enlightening Watt. Hold tight for hour three. December 13, 2016, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you. snowflakes are blowing in off the lake. This 30 below wind chill factor is right at all that I could take. They measure the ice by stacks of wrecks piled 30 deep. All I want to do is sleep hard. It's an 11 car winter so far. The bars are no longer full since the jobs left with the coal. They tore down the world's largest cement dock and took away a piece of my soul. You'll never see a deeper blue than Shawamigan bathed by the stars. It's an 11-car winter so far. It's an 11-car winter so far. It's only halfway through the holiday season. If it grows to 25 by March, I will have lost all reason. Learn a thing or two about yourself in cold this raw. It's been an 11-car winter so far. The tourists are gone by mid-October. We fend for ourselves until May. The sun barely breaks the horizon. Nights twice as long as day. The aurora borealis flickers like fireflies trapped in a jar. It's an 11-car winter so far. Car winter so far. You left me in November. You said you needed space to be free. Said the weather wasn't the problem. It lay squarely with me. I'll never know a worse day than watching you pack up the car. 11-car winter so far.
the river wide to the unknown side. When I am further than gone, while I am here, will you be holding me near? When I am coming, will it be your voice that I hear? I arrive, will you push me in or let me dive into the river wide, heading to the unknown side, when I am further than gone, when I am dead and gone, will you be thinking of me? When you see my reflection in the music that surrounds you, will you feel it in your skin? Will you let the light come in? Or will you feel it all around you? Whoa, it's hard to believe it's not magic. Tragic to think that we don't know where we're going. What are you showing? When I am gone, when I'm further than gone, when I am traveling, when I'm moving on, the river wide, crossing to the unknown side, when I am further than gone, when I am dead and gone, will you be thinking of me? When I am further than surrounds you, will you feel them in your skin? Will you let the light come in? Or will you feel it all around you? Whoa, it's hard to believe it's not magic. It's tragic to think that we don't know where we're going. What are you showing? What are you showing? What are you showing me? Whoa.
The bus is way not to care. No matter what, it's just like that. So here I stand in my red robe. When does it come, nobody knows. But everything that lady needs, in the off-speed to save the least. An object in now, here we go. Oh my God, what is it so slow? A traffic jam, a traffic light, a traffic hell, one day by night. Well, yeah, that's all so really great. But all the while, I'm fucking way. I guess I am my own God. The job has shit, it's all my own. The bus is stuck, I'll say who I am. But she's not dead, I'm not dead.
For Pedro Show, started the third hour off with Devil's Work, live from the Palouse. What about that one, Jay?
The Devil's Work was a song written by a friend of mine, Peter, who is a great wordsmith, and he's actually written quite a few of the lyrics for a lot of the songs that we've played over the years. I give him a task on a theme, and he comes back with some crazy lyrics.
Like your friend Pete Sinfield? Was that
yeah, exactly, you know, exactly.
This guy wrote for Jack Bruce, Brown.
Oh, God.
Stuff like White Room and Tales of Brave Ulysses and Pete Brown, I think.
You got me on that one.
It didn't mean to. Then we had Laughing Gas with Your Knees, Her Shoulder, My Foot. SS Space Systems, Woman of Heroin, Epode. Whatever that means. Whatever it was, explode at one point. Dick Deluxe with It's an 11-car winter. Did you guys get snow yet?
It came and went.
Okay, because when I was there, it was cold enough, but it didn't do. People, I was there 2 weeks ago with my segment. Black Zulu of Denmark with Kitty Hawk. Elliot Eidelman. He's living in Atlanta now. Further Than Gone. Finally, King Champion Sounds. Dutch guys, that fucking bus again. What do you call that when they put all those symbols for cuss word? I say fucking whatever. Okay, let's this thing about back to Hillary.
Oh, okay, yes, Blood on the Gompa Steps. That's the only thing we touched on with the Sherpa connection, and that story was that they were. Basically, they were building runways and hospitals and schools all over the Himalaya, and they had an altercation with one of the Sherpas. They had gotten drunk or something and started an issue, and the lead Sherpa was embarrassed by this person acting the way they did, so he hit him on the head with a stick and cracked his head open, and the blood splattered onto the steps of the Gompa Palace, the monastery, and Sir Edmund's comment was, "Well, that would make a great name for a book." And I, of course, read that and was like, "Wait, make a great name for a song." So we incorporated it into the piece.
I hope the guy got better.
Yeah, I'm sure they probably poured some liquor on his head, wrapped a bandage around, and sent him back down the mountain.
What kind of liquor is in the Himalayas?
Oh, I don't know, Matt. Any idea? I imagine a lot of, probably shine, you know, homebrew.
You know this tune here, Angels of Death. This is a Hawkwind tune.
Yes. Yep.
And in fact, it goes far back enough. You guys are called Rainbox Pollution.
Okay. Right. Yep.
Do you remember this gig?
Yeah. It was just live stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was probably the Lion's Lair.
Yes.
Yeah. That was great.
But
that
a few
was
years ago. A few years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, we played a bunch of shows in Denver doing all that stuff. It was funny because we never really mentioned anybody we were doing Hawkwind songs. We just kind of booked the shows.
Didn't you get a chance to open for, was it Nick Turner?
We did open for Nick Turner. Yeah, yeah, that we didn't play a Hawkwind show that night, though we did. We did play. There was a couple of songs. I asked Nick first, and he was like, "If Dave Brock wrote it, I don't care if you play it."
That's funny. Let's listen.
Thank you.
Watt for Peter show, Angels of Death live version from Bainbox Pollution, and Lion's Lair, where I just was a couple weeks ago, my second man. Then we had Fuck Jar, Flesh Engine God. Yeah, this is stuff from England that the infamous Susan turned me on it. The Guts with Bike Club, Secret Black Boyfriend with Dead Tansen, and finally The Dire Sister with the Coventry Carol. Speaking of carols, yeah, Xmas time coming up. We were talking about Hawkwind, how they're not just in the past, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, totally. Well, they tour every year. Nick Turner tours, and the regular Hawkwind, they had scheduled a tour, but they canceled it, and then they rescheduled it, and they canceled, and they rescheduled, and they finally just said they just canceled the tour. But, you know, they have a brand new record out. It just came out. So, obviously, they're doing something.
Do you remember the Hawk Lords?
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah.
Side Power?
Yep, that was when we were working on right at the very end of the original Brain Box. That was one of the ones I had been picking at.
What's your theory about Hawk Lords? Were they trying to pick up on what was happening at that time?
I think they were trying to, like, jump on, like, kind of be a little more punky in some ways. It was, you know, Bob Calvert was really driving it.
That Side Power tune is pretty good.
Yep, that's a good one as well.
The big guy in SST, in the Hawkwind was Desil. Just a sec. Why? Yeah. Man, I think that was a marketer saying, I'm having trouble with my headset. So I put an end to that.
You should have told him to try on the Y from Pedro show.
No more trouble with the headset. Yeah. Desert was the hugest Hawkwind. We would listen a lot of Hawkwind at the time.
And I saw the DC3 play at 9:30 Club. Was that with Firehose, maybe, and they played a Hawkwind
song?
That's
right, yeah.
Yeah, it was, and they played Theme for an Imaginary Western also, if I remember correctly.
Wes, Bruce, and Link. Actually, I read somewhere Jack Bruce wrote it for Cream, but Eric Clapton did not approve.
Interesting. It's a classic. Yeah, DC3, those guys were great, man.
Yeah, but one thing that was kind of lame, in fact, they endeared the nickname DC 3 Hours because they would not get off the stage.
Yeah, well,
I think I like DC 3 better when we played before them.
Mm. Yeah, pretty. It was a tour. It was one of those package tours.
I remember it. I remember Paul Rossler.
Yeah.
There was some Dose. There was some Criminy. There were points where, like, I didn't get off the stage, you know.
Right.
Strange. Yeah. So, okay, about the Sir Edmund Proj, tell me the whole deal. You're more than halfway into it, right?
Yeah, we're more than halfway into it, and we're playing it live. You know, we've done some shows around town just to try to test the water on it, and it's been going over really well. It's got a lot of complexities to it that are different than what we were doing, and it's definitely not pop music. I mean, you know, from writing instrumental music, or predominantly instrumental music, that it's it lands with some people better than others. And doing instrumental music that's progressive punk is, you know, some people get it and some people don't.
But that was always the dilemma. But it was also kind of happening.
Oh, no, totally. You know, it's like this Blood in the Gompa Steps thing. It has an almost like a... Jack Johnson, if he was doing Jack Johnson songs like Fugazi.
If somebody was going to ask you about advice in music, well, let's ask Matt first. Matt, what would you tell him in one sentence?
I've always just followed whatever I was trying to do. I mean, sometimes I look back and go, oh, we should have done something different, but you can't really do that. I think you have to really just kind of just follow the path you're on. I mean, as a musician, I think. Anyway, that's what I'd say.
That's great. What about you, Jay?
I would say, you know, basically for me, if you want to be a musician, if you're interested in doing it, just get out and do it, you know. Find a friend you can play with and just go with it.
Yeah. I think that's good words, too. I want to thank you both for being on the show and want to wish you luck with this project. It seems very interesting. I can't wait to play the whole baby in its entirety when you get finished.
You'll be one of the first.
Okay, thank you. People, it's been... December 13th, 2016, edition of Watt for Pivo Show. keep your powder dry.